Well, if you have your Bible, let's make our confession before we go any further, but we're going to be headed toward Isaiah in just a moment. I've got something on my heart that the Lord just gave me, and it's a very special word I want to share with you this morning. And let's make our confession before we begin. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly proclaim, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God, and I'll never be the same. Never, 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 in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Look at Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. The book of Isaiah, and then right before the book of Jeremiah. Both those pretty big books, and when you go to the Old Testament, you're probably going to hit one of those. But Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17, and I want to take for a text this morning as I begin to share a little bit today. Those are mine, Sheila. Hold on to those. But Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. The Bible says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, which teaches you to profit, which leads you by the way that you should go. Let's read it one more time. I really want it to sink in. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, which teaches you to profit, which leads you by the way that you should go. You say amen to the reading of the word. I'm going to talk to you today about your money. I want to talk with you today about your money. Now, here's the deal. When we come into this life, we learn what the world tells us. And what the world will tell you if you listen to the world is this. They will tell you how you can give them your money. I mean, you know, you've got all kind of things on television here and there. This, you know, how, you know, we got, do we believe some of the stuff that they tell us? I mean, when they talk about there how to lose, you know, 3 dress sizes by this weekend, ain't nobody gonna do that. Especially all us men. Say amen. I've never lost a dress size in my life, but anyway, ain't nobody gonna do that. But they say that how to do this with only 6 minutes. Of exercise a day. Dwayne, you could be the next Bruce Lee. 5 minutes a week. Ain't no way you're going to be the next Bruce Lee out of 5 minutes a week. You know, a lot of stuff like that they tell us. And in the area of money, the world tells you all kind of things. I mean, open the newspaper. You open the newspaper, and I was shocked to open it up and look, and you turn to those last few pages, and you see all those automobile sales ads and those kind of things, all the car sales. And I'm wondering on a bunch of them, where are the prices? All they tell you is how much it is down, and they like to advertise zero down, and then so much a month. I don't care what the monthly payments are. I need to know what the price is, because I don't want to pay monthly payments for the rest of my life. But now, apparently, a lot of people in the world don't care what it costs. Apparently, all they want to know is, how much does it cost per month? And if I can, a salesman many years ago, and I don't do this anymore, but many years ago, a salesman talked to me, and he said, now, if I could get the payments down to where you could afford it, would you be interested in this vehicle? I said, not at all. He said, why not? I said, it has nothing to do with the payments. It has to do, can I buy the car today, and can I sell it tomorrow and make money off of it? He said, you can't expect to do that. I said, yes, I can. If you buy the right kind of car, you can buy it today and you can sell it tomorrow and make money off of it. And if you don't get mad, but if you can't do that, you just put yourself in the hole. You just put yourself in the hole if you can't do that. Because are you making an investment in an automobile, or are you just buying an expense that you can pay on and expense out for the rest of your life? Expense is something you'll never see again, never have again. When it's gone, okay? And so you got to ask your questions about your financial situation. You got to make some plans in your life. Why is it? Why is it that we go through, I went through 12 years of school at least, 12 years of high school, and not one time did they sit down and teach me how to handle money as a personal person. They never taught me how to get rich. They never taught me how to make money. They didn't teach me any of those things. It should be a required course in school, if you're going to go to school and get an education, of how to make and handle money. But it wasn't there. I sit in classes before and heard people talk on finance and that kind of thing, and teach some kind of things, different electives I've done over the years. And I'd hear somebody teaching, and he'd say, "Now, this is how it's worked," but I've never made it work. Somebody asked me one time, when you listen to somebody that's got a whole lot of money, why listen to them? Because they got a whole lot of money. Because they didn't get that whole lot of money by accident. They didn't get it by luck. Somebody says, "Oh, he just got lucky and made $10 billion. No, you don't make $10 billion by luck. No. There was a plan that was involved. And you know what? If you're going to have a successful life, all of this is hooked. We're going to get into the God stuff and the Word. I mean, it's absolutely tied to God. I feel God so strongly on this for the last several days. It's more than a long thing. A lot of things I've taught and preached on. But you know what? As long as the church stays broke, church can be able to do very, very little in the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Because everything you do takes money. I realize today when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to various people, and we're at different levels. I understand that. So some things get some of us and some get another, okay? But it's like that no matter what I talk on. But today I want to talk with you about God's plan for your money. God's plan for your money. Now, if your plan, you know what, if your plan's not working, don't keep on doing that. If you get out and you start headed toward Greenville in a car, and 3 hours from now you're not in Greenville yet, you're on the wrong road. And so if in your plan, with your money, you haven't made some money, you haven't got, you know, your bills paid, you hadn't got your debts out of the way, you hadn't begun to bank money, invest money, and get wealth and those kinds, if you're not, you're on the wrong road. Wow. Anybody got a pen I can borrow? We can drop it and we can hear a pen. I know in the church over the years we've taught, wow, just old rich man, they're all evil and rich. God's rich. He's not evil. Amen. The first man God made, Adam, he made him rich. He owned it all. He owned everything. All that there is. And when Solomon said, "Hey, give me the wisdom to lead your people," God said, "I'll do that, but I'm going to give you what you hadn't asked for, and I'm going to make you rich." And he made him so wealthy that to this day, people think about wealth. They think about Solomon. Who was he? A man God blessed. Not just blessed, now all of a sudden money came in. God blessed with wisdom. And with the wisdom that God blessed him with, he made tons and tons and tons and tons of money. And so in the Bible, what I have found is there are wisdom teachings in Scripture that teach us how to profit. Notice what God said. He said, "I don't teach you how to go broke. I don't teach you how to be in debt the rest of your life. I don't teach you how to not have enough. I teach you how to profit." I've been in life. You have too. I guess you have, but probably most of us have. I've been in life when there was not enough. I've always had something to eat. That's not the issue. I've always had something to eat. In America, probably most people can. If you just do whatever you need to do somehow, you'll get something to eat. But you know what? There's more to life than just having enough to eat. Amen? Some people want more than a bologna sandwich. Amen? I don't know who, but some people might. And so there's more to life than some of these things. But you're not going to get more to life unless you got money to buy it with, because people won't give it to you. They're selling it. Amen? So then, you got to learn to handle money. If you don't learn to handle money, you'll go through life wanting and desiring and looking and wishing and, you know, never seeing those things fulfilled. Now, I know in life there are those of us that think, "Oh, they're just blessed. Oh, they're just blessed. Well, they're just blessed. That's all it is. They're just blessed." No. They're handling money with the laws and principles of God. Some sinners do that and don't know it, but they're doing that. It's amazing. I've listened over the years to many, many motivational teachers and many, many financial gurus and those kind of things. They'll say stuff about things. I say, "Well, that's biblical. That's biblical." They never gave one verse of Scripture, but it was biblical. So we need to learn to handle. Now, especially in the day that you and I live in, we need to learn to handle money. Because there are forces that are at work that are in our economy and in the world economy. There are things that are going on in this world that is designed to not let you be prosperous. I mean, you know, think about it. Several years ago, I learned this, but several years ago, I needed a headset for my phone. at Verizon. I went into Verizon. You know what the headset cost? $35. Do you know what the cover for the phone cost? $35. You know what this cost and that cost? The charger for the phone cost? $35. I asked them, I said, you guys just don't have but one price in this whole place, do you? I said, not unless you buy a phone, then that's $130. No, it's more than that now. iPhone's $500 or $600. And so I saw that, and I said, well, there's got to be a better way. And so what everybody do, we run to eBay, we run to other places, and I found out that the Chinese will send me the cell phone cover, the cell phone charger, and the earphone and everything for the cell phone for $6.95 free shipping. And I thought, how can they do that? The way they do that is the Chinese have devalued their currency, and for them, $6.95 is worth about $70 in American money. And so they're making a fortune on that $6.95 because they have devoured their currency. And that's some of the, you're hearing a whole lot about that now and the different things and, you know, importing and exporting and deficits of trade and those kind of things in America. And it's tied to some of that stuff. And it's out there. Why is China just overtaking America, in world economy? Just done it just a few months ago. How'd they do that? And I'm selling that thing for $6.95 and Verizon wants $35 for it. How'd they do that? Because they work in some other principles that a lot of people don't ever think about. And they're working those principles. What you and I need to do, you need to learn some principles on how to handle your money. Now, look with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. We're going to do that. And I'm get where we're going to get today, and we'll see if we continue on or not. But let's at least look at it today. In Luke chapter 14. All right. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 is where we're going to be. Money brings responsibility with it, okay? Believers are to be in control of money and use it wisely. One of the ways they're doing that is by establishing a plan in your life. You got to have a plan for your money. I've been, over the years, worked with a company, and one of the major books they do is called God's Plan for Man. Well, God does have a plan for man, but God also has a plan for your money, and you need to have a plan for your money. If you don't have a plan for your money will just do anything. Your money will come into your wallet and it will say, just visit and I'm leaving. I won't be here very long. But you need a plan for your money. Everybody say a plan. Plan. Say this. Say a plan for my money. Say it's my money and I need a plan. Because if you don't, the world's got all kinds of plans for you. You turn on your radio and they'll give you all kinds of plans for your money. They call them advertising. Turn on a TV, they'll give you all kind of plans for your money. People will call you on the phone and give you all kind of plans for your money. And they got this new thing now. Telemarketers call in, and this telemarketer called in and to me, and it was a computer. Has you been called by a computer yet? And the computer said, hello, that's a so-and-so, blah, blah, you know. And I said, is this a computer? No, but I am being assisted by one. And they went to the end of the spiel, and they said, if you would like to buy this or that, talk to so-and-so. I pushed a button to talk to so-and-so. So then a real live person came on the phone. And when he did, I went, hello. And he said, is this Mr. Bible? I said, yes. And then he did this, and I acted just like I was a computer. He got so mad and hung on me, you wouldn't believe it. But there's people everywhere that want your money. They'll do anything to get it. Amen? All right, then. You need to have a plan for your money. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. For which of you intend to build a tower, sits down not first and counts the cost, whether they have sufficient to finish it or not? Lest happily, after you have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Now, what was his problem? He evidently had a plan on how to build the building because he got the foundation down. But after he laid the foundation of the building, he ran out of money and couldn't build the building. And the problem was, he said in verse 28, was he didn't count the cost. Or he didn't sit down and put it down on paper first of what the building was going to cost. When we built this building in 1994, one thing that we saw was this. When we went to the bank, thank God the bank day is going to be over before long, but when we went to the bank in 1994 and built this building, we had about 14 pages of drawings of the building, had almost 35 pages telling every step of the project from laying the foundation to putting up the walls to doing the plumbing, the electrical, carpeting, the brickwork, everything. Everything was laid out, what it was going to cost, where we're going to buy it out, how much we're going to spend, and on those 35 pages, when I walked into the banker and showed it to the banker, and the guy that I talked with, he knew me and knew of, you know, what we had done before, the little building we'd done. And he sat down with another guy, the vice president of the bank, and both of them sat down. They took me out to lunch, and he walked in, and he said, "This is so-and-so. I never met him before." And he said, "That's what they're wanting to do." And the guy said, "Tell me about it." And so I handed a folder to each of them. And I had the blueprints, pulled them all out, put it all out there. And the other guy that introduced me to him looked at the vice president and said, "I told you it'd be like this, didn't I?" He said, "You're not going to have any problem at all." They looked at all that and was just overwhelmed by it and said, "Is this all you need? If you want more money than that, that's okay." And then they did. They just went ahead and okayed a thing at that time. It was $250,000 and just signed off on it and said, "Here, take it." But why did they do that? Because they saw a plan. They saw a plan and the plan would work. Before you do something with money, make a plan for it. Make a plan for it. Now, I'm not just talking about this because, listen, some people say, "Well, you're just talking about business." I'm not in business. I'm just a regular person, husband and wife, house. You know what? Everybody's in business. Everybody is running a business. You may be running your business as a home, as a husband and wife or a single parent or whatever, or children, but that's your business. And you look at it, you need to look at it like a business. Whether you're going to make a profit or whether it's going to be an expense or we're going to have a loss or we're going to have assets, liabilities, all those things we'll talk about. You need to look at it that way. As if you're running a business. What can I do to increase or whatever? That, if you had that one concept in your mind, one concept like that would save you thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in your life. If you looked at everything you did and said, "Now, if I buy this, is this going to make me money? Is it going to cost me money?" And if you said it's going to cost you every month for the next 84 months, I don't want it. Because it's going to cost me something. I want something I can buy today and sell tomorrow and make money on it. Okay? If you look, that's what business people do. Or if not, that's what James said. The businessman goes and he buys and he sells and he makes gain and has a profit. If you don't make a profit as a business, what happens to you? You go out of business, don't you? And you know what? As a family, if you make decisions that are not wise and those not profitable decisions, then you'll go bankrupt as a family. Amen? And so what you got to do is make a plan. And do you have a plan? Because everybody else has got a plan. Do you have a plan? The Internal Revenue Service has a plan. They give you a plan every year, and what they say they're going to do is find out how you've been spending your money, what you've been spending on, what you've been calling it. Is it deductible? Is it not? There's a credit involved? Is there not? Whatever's going on. And, you know, at the end of the year, you sort of have to fill out those taxes. Some people say, "I don't want to do that." Give it to somebody else. Let them do it. I can understand that. I don't put my name on one. Well, I do now since they have TurboTax. But for years, I would never put my name on a tax return. I always wanted to say, if the IRS came after me, he did it. But what the IRS said one time is, it wasn't him that did it. You signed it. So if you sign what he did, you ought to know what he did. If you sign what he did, you ought to know what he did. Because if he did the wrong, you the one did the signing. They said, "I don't know, H&R Block will go with me with litigation." Yeah. Just wait and see, you know. But you need a plan. Now then, let me give you two kinds of plans that you can use, okay? I've created some things. Well, let me get something else. Nobody builds this tower. Nobody builds this building unless he sits down first and counts the cost. In order to count the cost, you need to know a couple things. This little sheet, I designed this and put it together. I got about 35 of them here this morning. If you want one, you can have one. But what it's called is a net worth sheet. Everybody ought to do this. You can do it on a piece of paper. It's not a problem at all. You can write it down on a piece of pencil or you can do it on this fancy sheet I got. Either one. If you look on the left-hand side, it says assets. All you got to do is write down what you own. Or what you think you own, okay? For example, if you're a homeowner, you write down the value of your home. Whatever it might be. Home, $100,000, $150,000, $200,250, whatever it is. Home, $300,000, $400,000, whatever. Write down home. Vehicles. How much are those vehicles worth? Not worth when you bought them. What are they worth today if you could sell them? You write it down. Jewelry, whatever that is, write it down. Furniture, whatever that is, add it up, write it down. Boat. Got a boat? Write it down. Other. That's personal things. Then you might have some other kind of assets in your life, such as cash. It's in your checking account. Got any money in your checking account? Write it down. How about an emergency savings account? You got that? If you do, write it down. 3 to 6 months in expenses saved up. You got that? Write it down. You got a college fund? Write it down. You got certificates of deposit? Write it down. You got a money market account? Write it down. You got a life insurance with a cash value in it? Write it down. You write down all what you've got. What about investments, retirement, IRA, 401k, savings bond, mutual fund, stocks, real estate? Write it down. And then you total it all up, and at the bottom, you write what it's worth. Now, I don't know what it could be worth. It depends on, you know, what you've got in life. You know, all of us are at different places in our life. But if you wrote it down, and at the bottom, you had $750,000, so you had $750,000 worth of assets. Then on the other side, you write down what you owe. On the other side, the mortgage loan, what you owe on that house. And hopefully, you owe a whole lot less than what it's worth. If you owe more than what it's worth, you need to get out of it as fast as you can. Okay? But anyway, you put that on the right side, that's a liability. What about a home equity loan? Have you borrowed money on the house and then went back and borrowed money on the borrowed money? As soon as you paid some of it down, the bank said, well, you paid some of it down, now you own some of your house, we want that back, and you can have a home equity loan. We'll give you a line of credit. You know, write that down, a home equity loan there. Do you have a car loan? I went on that car, truck, whatever it is. You got that? I'm going to be a real estate loans. Got anything that you bought that you owe somewhere else for properties that you got an investment, whatever, write it down. How about student loans? Student loan is a real big thing today. As soon as you walk in the door, they want to start signing you up for student loans at colleges and universities. That's one of the way they get their money. That's what they do. It's a business. College is a business. It's a business. You got to recognize it like that. And so student loans, other loans you might have, write it down. Another place, other outstanding debt, such as credit cards. Got any credit card debt? Write it down. Got any Sears, JCPenney, Montgomery Ward, who else? Sears, JCPenney, Kohl's, whoever they are, write them down. You got a Visa, you got a MasterCard, you got a Discover, you got this, write it down. What do you owe? Then you total up what you owe, subtract it from what you own, and that tells you what you're worth. That's called your net worth. That's your bottom line. You need to know that before you go any further and before you do anything. You need to know that. You're counting the cost. What is my life and my work and my possessions? What does it amount to? Here's my totals. This is my net worth. This is what I am worth in life, in financial, my financial life. Second form that I designed is this, and what more people more common with this is called a budget form. Now, I like the net worth better. Budgets are, you know, if I know what I'm worth and what I got and what I can do, then I can do some stuff. But on the other hand, some people say, I don't need to know that. Don't really have anything that would make me have a net worth, that kind of thing. I think the net worth of most people in America is very, very low. When you subtract what you owe from what you own, it's down in the low. It's a ridiculous amount. I think it's down to a few thousand dollars. It's not much at all. But then, so you have to know what you're spending then. This is a monthly budget sheet. I got it built down where it takes things in account from your weekly expenses. Some things are weekly. Monthly expenses, some things are monthly. Some things are quarterly, like automobile insurance and, you know, stuff like that. Sometimes just show up on a yearly basis, like the Internal Revenue Service. Sometimes that shows up, different things that goes on like that. And while I'm talking about that, Internal Revenue Service, let me tell you something. The Internal Revenue Service is not giving you any money when you get a refund at the end of the year. That was your money that you let them hold on to for that whole year. Somebody said, well, I got back $8,000 from the Internal Revenue. No, you let them hold it for you for a year. And you had enough faith that the government's going to give it back to you at the end of the year. That's a lot of faith. You were a faith person there. And you believed they'd give it back to you, but you could have done something else with that $8,000 if you'd wanted to. But you just let it sit there dead in the water with the government, hoping they'd give it back to you. So anyway, it's your money. The government don't have any money. The only money the government has is what they take from somebody else. The government don't have a dime. The only money they got is what they take from somebody else. I heard somebody talking the other day about this estate tax. You know what estate tax is? Let's say you work all of your life. All of your life. Let's say you're a farmer. And you get up at 5 in the morning and you go to bed at, you know, 11 at night. All your life. And over the years, you buy a little bit of acreage, and you get a couple hundred acres of land, or 300-400, and you got a $80,000 combine, and you got a $60,000 tractor, and a $70,000 this, and $90,000 this, and you got all this stuff. And finally, when you die, all that wealth that you worked all your life for and pay tax for it your whole life, and then when you die, your three kids, before they get any of it, the government comes in and takes 40% of it right off the top, called the death tax. It's not an income tax. Because you already been taxed on your income. Now they're taxing you when you die. I heard somebody the other day, a politician, talking about that. And what they said was, they said, you know, when so-and-so is going to leave all of this money to their children. And this is what the politician said. Well, I'll tell you what, I got better things to do with their money than that. You got better things to do with their money? Wow, we in a mixed up world. You got to be wise with money in these days because everybody wants to get it. This monthly budget sheet, at the top of it, you list down your income. What do you make? What do you get? Weekly, monthly, what do you get? What do you make? Write it down. And then it has a listing of expenses. You write down, all right, I got to pay out right here. I've got some things on top of mine. I'll talk to them in a minute. I got my giving up there, 10%. I got my savings, 10%. I got my retirement, 10%. That's 30% off the top that I'm giving to me. Then house payment, electrical payment, gas payment, phone payment, water and sewer, cable, taxes, on payment one, on payment two, gas, repairs, insurance, taxes, tax, insurance, health, groceries, meals out, dental, doctor, laundry, clothing, entertainment, gifts, Christmas, magazines, newspapers, emergencies, bank loans, student loan, credit card, one, two, three, other. Whew. A lot of expenses on there. And you might have some others that got a place. But you write this down, and then you say, all right, here's what I'm getting this month. Here's what I'm spending this month. Here's what I got left over. Now, what you got left over, we hoping, is positive. If it's negative, you are in serious trouble. Somebody say amen. Get one today. Fill it out today before you go home. Let me check it and I'll grade it before you leave today. If you think it's negative, you are in serious trouble. You need to know the condition of your house. The Bible says pastors should know the state of their flock. You ought to know the state of your money. You have any? Do you not have any? Is this going to work? Where are you going to be a year from now? Where are you going to be a month from now? Listen to this. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:3, you don't have to turn there, a prudent man foresees evil. Now, the prudent man, he'll say, something out there can come my way, not believing for it, but a prudent man, a wise man, foresees evil, and he hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. You see, if you don't look at what can come down the road and make provision for it, it can come down the road and hit you real good. I mean, you say, well, why do people have offshore banking accounts? Because they can hide away their money not to pay taxes on it. That's just why. Is it legal? Yes, it's legal. Absolutely. There's a lot of legal things out there once you become a high roller. There's all kind of stuff out there. But for the folks that are not quite the high rollers yet, it's a little bit tougher to find those things. But you can find them. You know what I discovered in life? I don't want the money of the rich. They made it, they can keep it, they earned it, it's theirs. Amen? I don't want the money of the rich. I want to be the rich. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's all the difference in the world in our thinking, our mentality. All right. Let me give you something else. 1 Corinthians 16:1, Paul said, now concerning the collection of the saints, I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even due upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay aside him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul was talking about the receiving of offering for missions. And they've been receiving missions throughout the year. And he said, let's get all this mission giving done so that when I get there, you know, we'll collect the money and send it on to poor saints of Jerusalem and we can just have church. We won't have to be concerned about all this money deal. But he gives us a very good principle when he talks about that. He said, upon the first day of the week, do certain things. You have to make a decision what you're going to do first. Because there's a line of things that can go after first. On my daytimer, now my outlook, I probably got 100 things I'm going to do, of doing of things. I can't do all 100 of them today, this week, this month, this year. I can't. But I can start on what I want to do first. And in life, we have to make some decisions. And the first thing you need to do is sit down at your kitchen table, dinner table, whatever you call it, coffee table, on your recliner, get you one of these forms, fill it out, and find out what you got, what you're worth, and what you want to do with your money. You got a plan. Anybody doing that, or whether you're in the business world or whatever you're doing that you're going to set out with a business plan, that's got to be your first plan. You got to know what you got, what's up, or what you don't have, or what your struggles are, different ways. And so many people over the years, I've sat down with them, do this exact same thing, and you'll come up, well, we don't have anything. We've done got in the hole so far. We've got so much debt. And they say, well, then we know where we're at, and we know how we can work our way out of it. Then there's other times that people come in and they'll put things down and say, well, I've done this, this, and this. I need to do some wise things. And there's some wise things in life that you need to do. Very wise. Right now, you know, savings account at the bank, what does it pay? I mean, 0.25%. It's nothing or 0.10 on just a little savings account, on a checking account, whatever it was. I know it's just next to nothing. You see a 7-cent deposit or 14-cent deposit or whatever, just on a little bitty checking account kind of thing that they do. 1.1%. It's nothing. And so you got to learn to do some wise things in life with your money. If you don't, somebody else is going to take care of it for you. Now, listen to this. First thing, what do? You seek God's direction. You pray. Have you prayed about your money? What did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer?
That's not spiritual, pray about money.
I heard somebody say this other day, well, you just giving to get. Has anybody ever said that to a farmer? You went by the farmer's house, he's out there planting corn.
You're just planting that corn so you're going to get some.
Right? Yes, that's right. That's why the farmer does it. And there's certain things in life you do, yeah. Well, in church, people want to get real spiritual. Are you just giving to get? Now, listen, you've heard me teach more about giving than all kind of folks. You know there's all kind of reasons to give. Okay? You understand that. Giving to get is one of them. Okay? Sometimes I give stuff and don't expect a thing in the world back from it. I know God's going to reward me. I can't get away from that. I know that. But there is that giving to get. I'm sure it is. Whatever it is, so with that shall they also reap. You can't get away from that law. So then first, though, seek God and ask the Lord's direction concerning financial plans. If he says he'll teach you to profit, now, Lord, I need some help. You got to teach me how to do this thing. I don't want to be in a place. I hate poverty. I've lived in poverty situations. I hate poverty. Amen? Ain't nothing fun about poverty. It's not fun not having enough. It's not fun not knowing where you're going to get your money to pay your bills with or be able to buy food or have decent clothes to wear or this or that and watch everybody else doing the other thing. It's not fun to do all those kind of things. And so, pray and ask God, what you want me to do? What you want me to do? Get some leadership and direction from him, because there's all kind of things to do, and you need the Holy Spirit telling you what to do. The second thing is make that plan. Write down your plan. This is what I got. Now then, turn with me just real quick, and I'm going to come back to this again. But I've got to talk about this. You're in the Old Testament, go to Malachi. Go toward the book of Matthew and go to Malachi chapter 3. Just before you get in the book of Matthew, back up one time to Malachi. Now then, Scripture says in Malachi 3, verse 10, concerning tithing, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. This is one principle I'm talking about. The first one I'm talking about is making that plan. The second one I'm talking about is honoring God with your giving. Okay, that's got to be part of your plan. If it's not, you got big time troubles. Real big time troubles if you don't. Big troubles. Now, I talk about giving just very briefly about every Sunday, and that's it. And the only reason I'm mentioning this here about giving and tithing is because it is part of financial plan. I just can't leave it out. I've got 6-7 other things I want to mention to you, principles that's going to really be on the other side of these things. But I can't go past this. Because if God's not first place in your life, who would go into business with somebody and you wanted their all and they wanted your all and they said to you, we're going to do this, but I always got to do something else first. You're going to be looking for another business partner, aren't you? God's got to be first place in your life to make this stuff work. Now look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there might be meat in my house. We know, read this before. Prove me now, hear what saith the Lord of hosts. See what he says? If I want to open you the windows of heaven. Notice he said, prove me. Test me, try me, and see. And out of all the principles in the Word of God, I think this is the only one I know about where God says that. Try me. Prove me. Test me, try me, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. Just try it. Just try and see. Put God first with a tenth of your income. I've done this from the first dollar I ever made. My dad taught me way back many years ago when I was just a teenager, 13, 14 years old. He said to me, listen, you made this money. You need to give the church so much money. How much? 10%. All right, no problem. And so I started doing it, and I've done it on every single dime I've ever made in my life. When my kids came along, we did it with them allowances. Now, the money that we gave our kids, we'd already tithed on, and we gave it to them, and actually it was already tithed, wasn't it? And I talked to them about tithization without representation. But anyway, it had already been tithed, but I wanted to teach them the principle of tithing. And so I told them, whatever allowance we give you, then you need to go out here and tithe off of it. And we started giving allowance. I said, whatever you can count to, that's how much money I'll give you. And when they learned to count, up to a certain amount, of course. Had a limit on it. You know, I don't count to 10 trillion. But, and that's why one reason in the church. If you look at tithe envelopes, we have tithe envelopes for adults. Did you know we have tithe envelopes for children? We do. Why? Because this is what I know. If you'll give God and honor God first part of your income, you give him a tithe, you'll never be forsaken and you'll never be out begging for bread. What better principle could I teach children than that? And so we learn that. Now, but notice he'll open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, and won't be room enough for you to receive it. Blessings will come your way. Just like I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, I had a guy come in and cut some trees for me. I wanted three or four of them cut. He said $2,300. He came in, and he probably cut 15 or 20. He also went to work on grading out property, grinding up stumps. He did about $8,000 worth of work for me. And it was only $2,000, $2,300 that I paid for it. And I kept asking him, I said, you know, I didn't pay you to do this. He said, I know, I just want to bless you. And finally, when at the end of the job, he'd been there with six men working all day long for over 3 days. And at the end of the 3 days, I just told him, I said, look, y'all just done enough. Y'all going to have to leave. I mean, y'all done enough. This is way too much. Oh, no, man, I just want to bless you. He kept saying it over and over again. I just want to bless you. I just want to bless you. Why do you want to bless me? Because you know what? I've been blessing God for many, many years. And I've been putting God first in my life. And then you know what? God will give you favor with somebody. He'll do all kind of things for you. You know, it's a supernatural thing to tithe and give, because I know that if you sit down and say, well, I don't think I can afford it. I don't think I can do it. I understand those things that people say those things in life, but here's what I know. I know God said, prove me and try me and see. Never heard anybody this day say, you know what, I was giving to God and just didn't work, so I quit. You know what? I just hadn't heard that. If somebody said that, they might have, but I haven't heard it. God will bless you if you'll put him first in your life. Amen? He will. So I want to get that for you first. Put God first in your giving. On that budget sheet, on the very top line, I got tithe 10%, and I take it out first. First thing. The first thing we do is that. Now, I'm very, very specific about that. I give God on the tithe issue now. Now, I give offerings and other things. I give other ways. But on that part, it's 10%. I write it down to the penny. Me and God are in covenant. And so I write it down to the penny on my tithe. If I want to give more, I'll give more and have. But here I write it down to the penny because it's at 10%, and I want to make it just like I'm in contractual agreement with God. We have entered into covenant together. He said, you tithe, and I'll open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, won't we receive it. That's his part. My part is to give the 10%. That's it. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 23, these things ought ye have done. Speaking about tithing. He brought it into the New Testament, New Covenant. But it's there as a principle. It's there for sure. Now, look in Proverbs chapter 6. Let me just barely begin to touch on this morning. Third thing, okay? First thing was, make a plan. Everybody say, make a plan. Second thing is, honor God with your giving. Everybody say, honor God with my giving. Second thing. Third thing. Now, notice what you've done. You prayed about it. You wrote down your plan. You found out where you're at, found out what's up, what's going on. And you're putting God first in your life. Now you're ready to move on, okay? Now, let's start moving. Third thing. You honor God with your giving. Third thing. Honor yourself with your income. What I mean by that is this. Take a portion of your income and give it to yourself. I don't mean give it to yourself and go out, you know, and buy you a new suit of clothes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about give it to yourself as an investment in yourself. Put it money in yourself, set aside. It's not for God. It's not for my bills. It's not house payment. It's not. This money, I called it many, many years, I called it the Get Me Rich Fund. Everybody say, get me rich. Create a get me rich fund. And so I'm taking so much money every month and putting it into my get me rich fund. Now, the job of my get me rich fund is this. It is for it to grow and become so big that my get me rich money will make me more profit than what I make working. See, some people think about source income. Where's source income? My job. No, I've created this other get me rich fund, and that's also a source of my money. And the purpose of that fund is to make money to give it back to me when I want it. That's what its job is, to make me money. And I'm paying myself, that's what I call pay myself. I put it there to make me rich. Rich is not a bad word. Somebody say amen. I put it there to make me wealthy. Now, if you don't do that, here's what I've seen people do in life. I've seen people make tons of money and don't have a dime. I thought, how is it? How is it? Man, talked to me several people over the years. But I remember this one particular man come and talk to me. I said, how much you make in a year? He said, well, my profit, my income last year was about $700,000. I said, okay. I said, when you and me went the other day to eat lunch somewhere and you said, let me pay, you used your credit card and it defaulted and you couldn't pay for lunch. You remember that? And that's the truth. He said, yeah. I said, why is that? He said, because that credit card is maxed out. I said, why you got maxed out credit cards and you're making $700,000 a year? He said, because life just takes it. The man needs a new plan. Somebody say amen. What I found is this, you can run through all kind of money. But what you've got to learn to do in life, you're going to have to start saving some. Look in Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Simple principle. Even nature, even a stupid little ant knows this. Or unwise ant. Shouldn't say the word stupid. Unwise ant. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard or lazy person. Consider the ways and be wise. Look at what the ant does and be wise about that. Boy, those ants here, they'll get you. Yeah, I stepped in some ants the other day. And three or four of them started my leg, and I got the top, and I went, pow, and killed him. I said, no, the rest of y'all are going to get the same thing if you don't get off. But, you know, ants don't have enough sense to get off. I had to kill them all. Verse 7, they have no guide, no overseer, no ruler, but yet provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. There are seasons of life where you can make big money or make money. There's other seasons of life where you're going to have to eat off what you made. Some people say, okay, I just got a new job, I got a raise, I got this, I got that. I know what we're going to do. We're going to increase. Now I want this, now I want this, now I want that. And you start buying stuff. No, don't do that. There are seasons of life where things work well for you and a lot of money will flow through your life. There are other seasons where it might not be that case. I'm not trying to prophesy anything on you. I'm just telling you that's the facts of life. That happens out there. Anything can happen. And you got to recognize the season of life that you are in. What kind of life season are you in? Now, these ants also, what do? In verse 8, in the summer, they got their meat. That's something to eat. But then they gather their food for the harvest. So you know what? You got to lay some aside. You got to set some of your money aside. Don't blow it all. Don't spend it all. Set it over here aside for the purpose that you have designed for it to be. Now then, notice this. Ain't nobody going to make you save money. Look at verse 7. They have no guide, no overseer, no ruler. No guide, no overseer, no ruler. Nobody will make you do it. You're going to have to be your own maker. You're going to have to be the one that decides yourself that you're going to set aside some money in savings. Ain't nobody else going to do it for you. Nobody's going to make you do it. There's different instruments throughout, you know, life that are out there. There's HSA, health savings account, where if you set aside a certain amount of money, then you spend it on your medical bills and it doesn't come with your deductible. All kind of stuff like that. It's a complicated little thing, but it's easy to work. There's an IRA, which you set aside money and it's not taxed. What's happening? The government's trying to say if you'll save money for the future, because we know we're going to be broke. If you'll save money for the future, then we won't tax you on it. There's a Roth IRA says, well, you can save money for the future. You will be taxed, but then you won't be taxed on it. You know all that money you've been putting in your 401k, your IRA, that when you get it out, they're going to start taxing you on it. But if it's a Roth IRA, they don't. If, as long as the government don't change the plan, which they've done many, many times. So it's hard to say. But what I'm saying is there's some people encouraging you to save, but then people don't. Ain't nobody going to make you do it. Going to have to be you. Going to have to be you. You're going to have to take responsibility for your own financial life. You can hear it all day long. You can think about it all day long, but ain't nobody going to make you save but you. You're the only one. The ant doesn't have anybody over him. He didn't have a guide. He didn't have an overseer. He didn't have a ruler. You don't either. You're going to have to make your own decision in life, what you can do with your own money. Now, notice Proverbs 21. If you're in Proverbs 6, go to Proverbs 21, verse 20. Now, here's the opposite. You can be like the ant. You can save stuff up for winter and that kind of thing and have stuff ready and live the next year. You can do that if you want to. Or you don't have to. You don't have to do that. Ain't nobody going to make you do it. Proverbs 21, verse 20, the Bible says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. What does the wise man have in his house? Treasure? What else? Oil in the dwelling place? He's got some stuff. Everybody say stuff. In the house of the wise. He goes to the cupboard and got stuff in the cupboard. We have at our house a pantry, and I went into the pantry the other day and looking around, I said, Sheila, what are we going to do with all this food? I mean, she said, well, it was on sale. And so, I don't know what I'm going to do with 144 cans of green beans, but anyway, they're there if we ever need them, if in the world happens, but you got to love green beans. But what is she doing? She buys something on sale. Well, or use a coupon on it. Whatever. And let me tell you something. You keep on using coupons and getting stuff on sale. Don't matter what money, if you could save money and invest it and make money off of it rather than blowing it at stores, do that. So there's a lot to be saved that kind of way. Every week, Sheila does two things. She goes to Aldi's, and then she goes to another grocery store that she goes to. Why does she go to Aldi's? She said, because it's cheaper. Right? I mean, you know, so there's certain things that you do, and if you do that and save some money there, then you can do something in other places, can't you? So you got to learn some things along those lines. But notice what it says, verse 20, a foolish man spends it up. Let me ask you something. If you get paid $10 this week, and you go spend that $10, every penny of it, what are you? You're broke, but what, according to verse 20, at the end of it, what are you? Tell me again. Foolish, isn't it? It's foolish to spend every dime you got. It's foolish to do that. And so what you need to do is save some of what you got. Save some. Don't blow it all. Blow everything you've got. I mean, you know, had somebody come up to the church one time. They drove outside. They had this great big old van. It was a conversion van. I looked at that van. I said, that, and this was several years ago, and I said, that van's got to be at least $40,000 worth of van. These two people got out and said, we need to talk to you. I said, okay, come on in and talk to them. And I said, what's the problem? So we're going through difficulties. I said, okay, how can we help? She said, well, financially, we need somebody else to make our van payment for us this month. I said, you know what you need to do? You need to go outside and get in that van and go sell that. Put a for sale sign on it. Go down to Walmart, buy your 98-cent sign for sale, stick it on there, and ride it around. Hope somebody else will be as foolish as you was and buy it back from you. I mean, you know, if that's what you got to do. But see, it's foolish to spend every dime you got. You're just playing the fool. But, well, you know, I want to have my fun. You're going to have some fun. As long as you pay cash for it. You got money in savings. Got money in retirement. And all your bills are paid, and your house is paid for, and your car is paid for, and everything else in the world you got paid for. You don't have a debt in your life. You can have all the fun you want to do then. And believe it or not, it is fun then to do anything you want to do and don't owe nobody a dime for it. That is fun. Everybody say fun. I mean, it's fun to do those kind of things. I mean, but you know what? We make a decision in our lives. Sometimes it just gets us. I mean, really, Sheila and I drove by the car lot the other day. In town, just look around. I said, I wonder what cars cost today. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. We drove up there, and that's why I was just at $42,000. $40,000 for a truck that I'm going to work in? $42,000? Another truck, $54,000. Another $68,000 truck. I mean, I just saw all kind of money floating around everywhere out there.
Now, it doesn't matter to me what the vehicle costs. What matters to me, what's it going to be worth tomorrow? That's my big question. I don't care what it costs. What's it going to be worth tomorrow, the next day, the next month, the next year? And so what we've decided, my next car that we get, I've almost all decided, and we've talked about this, I'm going to get me a 1968 Chevelle. That's what I'm going to get. Because here's what I know. When I buy that 1968 Chevelle, whatever I have to pay for it that day, tomorrow it's going to be worth more. It'll never go down in price again. I learned that, man. You know, it'll be there. Anytime I want it, there's money sitting in the garage. All I got to do is sell it. Anytime I want it, there it is. But now if I buy a 2017 $68,000 automobile, you know what's going to be worth next year? Maybe $50,000. And a year after that, maybe $30,000. Year after that, maybe $20,000. And finally, I'm going to have to junk it on the sixth or seventh year. But that classic, man, no, man. Dave Ramsey says this. You should never buy a brand new car unless you got $1 million in the bank. Marianne went through the class, didn't he say it? Never buy a brand new car unless you got $1 million set in the bank. You don't do it. I mean, you know, that. I knew a man, for years I never understood. I knew a man that was a relative of mine. And this guy was a relative of mine, and he had bunches of money. He was in the real estate business in Lawrence. And he had bunches and bukus of money, bunches of money. But every time he come around and he had a car, every car he ever drove looked good, looked nice, but it was always like 2 years old. He had all kind of money. Could have bought anything he wanted. What you have to understand sometimes, some people think from one side versus the other. When you get to that place of a wealthy life, you look at your money very valuably. And you don't blow it. You always think about that. Is this going to cost me money? Is this going to make me money? And you make your decisions based on that. You don't blow money foolishly. You buy something that you can sell tomorrow and make money on it. You can buy any car you want. Just so tomorrow, when you go out, you can make money on it. If you can't do that, don't buy it. Don't do that. I mean, what are you doing? Save money and don't spend up everything that you've got. I'm out of time. Let me give you last seven things right here real quick, and then we'll take up with this next week. Why should I save money? One, it'll keep you from spending money foolishly. If you become a saver, you will watch every time you spend money. Because when you start seeing that account where you're saving up begin to grow, it has an effect upon you as you begin to save. Now, don't think about being a tightwad, okay? That's what I'm talking about. Sheila and I, we go to places, and because of my age, of course, she's not that old, but because of my age, we go to places, and we buy stuff, and we get the coupon meals and the $5 meals and the senior drinks, and I split mine with her. But we've done that, done all that stuff, and then leave a $20 tip. See, it's not about not having the money to do it. It's about the value. It's about doing something wise. I'm not talking about being a tightwad, not blessing and helping and giving and sharing with people. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about being wise with your money, because you don't be wise with it, somebody else is wise out there who wants your money. So if you start saving, it'll teach you not to spend your money foolishly. You won't do that anymore. Number two, you're able to be able to provide for your family's future. It's bad when something comes up and you don't have money to pay for it. If that refrigerator goes out, what you going to, you know, it'll put you back in debt if you don't have money. You can go borrow the money to buy another refrigerator. And so, but if you got some money saved, you can go there and get that money out and pay cash for it and walk out with it. You can't. And so that's the reason to say. It'll keep you from having to borrow money. If you got money saved up, it'll keep you from having to borrow money. I get a lot of calls throughout the week. I mean, these oil and gas people drive you crazy. But they'll call you up and ask you, are you liquid for this? Liquid just means, can you move the money right now? That's what liquid means. And you don't have to go anywhere to get it. And they want you to be liquid for a $100,000 investment to buy oil and gas out of North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, wherever it might be. And somebody on the phone, and I say, you people are crazy. You think you're going to talk to me on the phone and get me into a deal like that over the phone? I said, you people are crazy. But you know what? The deal is this: you're going to have to be careful with your money. Somebody's trying to get it. In other words, if you save money, you'll have money for financial emergencies. You'll also have money to do that bulk purchasing like Sheila does. To where when something's on sale, buy the fire of that thing. Yeah, you know, I got 4 pair of tennis shoes in my closet, brand new. Never wore them. I will one day, though. And when I wear them, too, I think I saved money when I bought those 4 pair of tennis shoes, too. 4 pair. Now, it used to be I couldn't even buy 1 pair of shoes, much less 4. But if you buy it on sale, see, how long are you going to go? I mean, but you can't do that if you don't have money to buy it with. So you need to save some money so when sale comes on, you can hit it and you can hit it good. You have money for buying something you want. Just something you want. You don't have to have need everything. We're going to talk about that a little later on. Sometimes there's just something that you want. 2 weeks ago, I bought me a Mickey Mouse watch. Now, I wanted a Mickey Mouse watch. The problem was, when I got the thing in, I didn't think about it, but the face was all white. And Mickey had on white gloves. And every time he'd be pointing toward a number, he had on white gloves on a white face pointing to the number. I couldn't tell what he's pointing to. And you ever tried to open up a light, open up a watch, and change the gloves of a mouse inside? It can't be done. I sent the thing back. But if you got some money, you can buy a Mickey Mouse watch if you want one. Last one, if you're saved, you have money to invest in your future. I don't know if you know it or not. If you're working right now, you won't always be. You'll get to the time where your working days are over. If you're making money now, you won't always be, unless you follow some of these other principles I'll talk about. But as a worker, you won't always be. And so you better set some money aside for the future. Somebody said, well, the government's going to take care of me. Well, Lord help us. No, don't count on that. If it's there, Patrick Henry said it's your patriotic duty to get every tax dollar back that's legally owed to you. So I believe in all that. But you know what? It ain't going to be there forever. It's not there now if it wasn't for the wonderful Chinese. We're $20 trillion in debt. We owe most of it to the Chinese. You better pray their economy does good. Or if they start demanding their notes and we have to pay them back, we're gone. We'll be devaluing our money. But invest in your future. You're going to have a future. But how many is expecting to be alive tomorrow? Say amen. How many is expecting tomorrow to eat something tomorrow? How many is expecting at least wear clothes tomorrow? How many is expecting if it's hot tomorrow, it'd be nice to be cool? Somebody say amen. And tomorrow after that, if it turns cold, wouldn't it be nice to be heated? And if you have to go somewhere tomorrow, would it be nice to drive somewhere to get there? And if you got something to drive to get there, would it be nice to buy gas for it? I mean, you're going to need some money tomorrow, right? Well, how many's planning on living a whole lot longer than just tomorrow? How about next week? How many's at least going to live to next week? Say amen. Well, how about next month? How about next year? What about 5 years? What about 10? What about 20? What 30, 40, 50, whatever? All the way out. It's going to take a plan to get you out there. Amen? It's going to take a plan to get you out there. Make your plan. I got some stuff. Get them before I leave. I didn't take time to hand them out. If you want them, you can get them when we leave today. I'll pick up right where I'm at next week. And I'm going to do my very best to give the principles God's given to me and the Word of God to give to you and help you in your financial life coming up next Sunday. So be part of the service. Stand up with me this morning. We'll go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, in Jesus' name, every head bow, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, hey, money don't mean nothing compared to knowing Jesus. I mean, if you had to make a choice, choose Jesus. But now you ain't got to make a choice because God's going to provide for you. But just put Jesus first place in your life. So every head bow, every eye closed. I want you to pray this prayer. And say, Dear Father, look at my heart, look at my life. Anything inside me, not like Jesus. Take it away. Take it out. Forgive me of all of my sins. I'll live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. And pray this prayer with me. Everybody stretch your hands with me and pray this prayer. Say, Dear Father, I give my financial life to you. I give all my monetary resources, all my finances, I give to you. I'm looking for your wisdom and your plan, your goals for my life. I'll be obedient, I'll walk in those plans, and I'll be successful. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. God bless. God bless.